lesson that we're going to talk about today is about your website. Now, listen, I am not a website designer, okay? So I am not going to come in here and I'm going to teach you all the code of what you need to do on building your website. What I am going to do is I'm going to give you some things that you need to think about your website. So let's go from here. So the first thing is, what is your purpose of your website? Think about that. What is the purpose of your website? You know, is it just to throw information out there? What is the purpose of your website? And I will tell you that what I think the purpose of your website should be is it needs to talk about you and your business. So there certainly is a huge information component tied to that where we talk about you and your business. But the purpose of that is that people do business with those folks that they like, know, and trust. And that is a huge statement. People that they like, know, and trust. So what your website needs to do is your website needs to build these qualities to increase your likability, tell people about you so that they know you, give you good information about your particular subject matter so they begin to trust you. Because what's going to happen as soon as you meet someone, probably before you ever have that one-on-one meeting or a five-minute meeting or even a 30-minute meeting with them, before you have a meeting with them, what's going to happen is they are going to go and look for your online presence. And your website is going to tell them a lot about you. And what you want that to do is you want that website to present a good, positive image of yourself and who you are. After they like, know, and trust you, then they're going to ask, can you solve a problem that they have? But if they do not like, know, and trust you, it doesn't matter if you can solve a problem they have. You will not get the opportunity to solve that problem. So, like, know, and trust is huge, won't happen without it, and then we can look at problem solution. And that's the purpose of your website, so that you can reach lots of people, lots of ways to get them to like, know, and trust you. So when you drive people to your website, we're going to talk later about ways to drive people to your website. When you drive people to their website, they need to find then on a website something that is actually going to help you in your business. They need to find things on the website that's going to get them to like and know and trust you. And once that you have provided that like, know, and trust, you have shown them that you can solve a problem that they have, then you need to be able to provide them an easy way right then that they can get the solution. And you've got to make it easy for them to buy from you. So like, know, and trust, solve a problem they have. What is that solution? How can they get that solution and make it easy for them to buy that solution and be able to buy that solution right there? All that should be done from your website. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that's coming to your website is buying from you. What that does mean is that people that come to the website have an opportunity to buy from you. If you don't provide an opportunity for them to buy from you on your website, you will not sell them anything from your website. You need to understand that, and I'll say it again. If you do not provide a way for them to buy something from your website, they will not be able to buy anything from your website. So that, to me, is the purpose of your website from a business standpoint. Website, again, we're talking about like, know, and trust. That's what it's all about. It's all about like, know, and trust. So the things that you need to have on your website, you need to have a home page, obviously. That's the first page that somebody types in your overall URL. As in my case, it's mkoneal.com. That's my name, mkmichaelkevinoneal.com. What you need to do is they have a home page. That's the page that it's going to come to. Once they see that, what do they see? Because they're going to determine in the first couple of seconds whether that's something they care about or not. And if something they care about, they may stick around. Okay, so you need something that's going to grab their attention, right? And some reason for them to like, know, and trust you. You want to give them an about page, and this is a page that tells them a lot about you. This is particularly true. Now, I'm talking this kind of like if you're a solo entrepreneur, which is the people that we're mainly talking to. But they need to find out about you. They got to like you. So have an about page. And the about page is going to tell them about you. Do you have kids? Yeah, I got kids. That's where this goes. Do you have how'd you get into your business? Tell me more about where'd you get your education? Why are you good at this? Why are you good at your business? Why are you the solution to my problem? You. It's all about you. And if they don't want to know about you, they'll go to another place on your website. But this About You page is, again, it's all about creating that like, know, and trust. You got a testimonial page. This is other people telling you how awesome and wonderful you are. That's what a testimony is, right? How awesome and wonderful you are. If you can get somebody to do a video testimony, great, do that. Keep them telling people how awesome you are. Because it's really, really powerful. Anybody can write something and say, hey, John said this. Anybody can write that. May or may not be true. But when you have someone, not you, looking at the camera and telling everybody how wonderful you are, that's powerful. So on your testimony page, if you can, get video testimony. That's very, very cool. It's going to become more and more important in the future as people move more and more to that. If you cannot do that, get a headshot of the person. Get a picture of the person that is providing you that testimony. Why? Because it is much more powerful, again, if you have a picture of somebody. This is what they said. This is the person that said this. Isn't that cool? So it's more of a real thing to you, which in doing that, you're increasing the trust factor of those testimonies. And again, it's all about like, know, and trust. So your testimony page is important. Your blog page comes off your website. Now, you don't want a blog page that sends everybody to a site off of your website to go read your blog. For a variety of reasons. One, you're sending people away from your website, and you never want to do that. You want to send people to your website and keep them on your website. Go to different pages on your website, but you don't want them to leave your website, if at all possible. So your blog page should be a page on your website, not something like WordPress, not some of the free blog sites, this type of thing. It should be a blog site for you on your website. Now, the other thing is, at some point in time, what's going to happen is that your website is going to rise or fall in the Google search engines due to activity. And if you are sending people away from your blog site to go read your blog, you are sending that activity, those analytics, those numbers, those statistics to somebody else and not keeping them for yourself. So you're basically giving business away and doing things to intentionally drop your place down in the Google searches, which is exactly not what you want to do. All right? So your blog page needs to be on your website. Now, do you put testimonials throughout your website? So you have this testimonial page. Do you put testimonials other places? Absolutely. Some people say, no, yeah, well, I got a testimonial page. Yeah, but not everybody's going to go there. So what you want is you want testimonials throughout your web page, throughout your all the pages on your website to talk about how wonderful you are. Because, again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to build your like, know, and trust factors. So, yes, put testimonials with pictures throughout your website on all pages. That's huge. That's huge. It's all about like, know, and trust. You sick of me saying that yet? It's all about like, know, and trust. All right. Pictures and videos. Think about this. So, how many people come over to your house after a big event, like a wedding, and they want to look at the article, the news article about your wedding? Or how many want to look at wedding pictures? Yeah, people want to look at wedding pictures. Do you want to read a description about your brand new baby, or do you want to see a picture of that brand new baby? Do you show people articles of your kids, your families, or do you show them pictures? You show them pictures. People like pictures. People like pictures. Put pictures all over your website. Pictures tell a story. So use pictures to tell your story. Have people take pictures. Have people do a variety of things. But you want pictures on your website because that's what people care about. That's what people like. That's what people look at. They don't read near as much as they look at pictures. Now, they may read because of the picture, and that's fine. That's awesome. That's what you want them to do. But you need to produce that picture. So have lots of pictures on your webpage. So let me ask you this. From that standpoint, do more people listen to talk radio or do more people watch television? Well, more people watch television. I don't know, by a 100-to-1 margin or something of that nature. It's huge. It's huge. Not to mean that talk radio is not important. It is. And it's significant to a particular segment of the audience. But more, way more people watch television than just listen to talk radio. So should you have audio scenarios on your web page, or should you have video? Audio is important. Audio is good. Video is much, much better. Okay, so you need to have videos on your website. Now, think about the cost of video. There's things that you need to think about anytime you're talking about video. You can get into a very expensive video. You know, some videos you can shoot a 2, 3, 4, 5 minute video that'll cost you several $1,000s. Do it in the studio and you get professional lighting and professional makeup and a variety of things. It can be very, very expensive. The cost of videos can cost a lot or not. Some people will shoot videos themselves. They'll have a friend shoot videos. They'll not take care of the not do near as much cutting and editing and things of that nature. So is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. You're not going to get a professional-looking video, but that's probably fine. It's more and more and more and more in the electronic age, people are shooting videos and enjoying the content more than the way the video was shot. So if that's the way that things are going, that more and more and more people are enjoying content, they're enjoying, rather than looking at the quality of the video, they're looking at the quality of the content to make the content really good and your video accessible. So the cost of video is important because it limits how many videos you can shoot. Now, there's some people that will shoot videos for less. You can shoot them yourself. I mean, there's a variety of things that you can do to keep the cost of video down. But it's something that you've got to deal with. You cannot shoot a video and decide that's a video I'm going to use forever and ever. Amen. It doesn't work that way. What you do need to do is you take the cost of video and use it, be aware of it. Keep those videos down, to cost those videos down. The location on the site. You need to think about two things about locations. You need to think about where your video is actually being shot. Is it inside? Is it outside? There's various reasons for shooting inside or outside, some of which are dealing with quality, some of which are dealing with a variety of things. But you need to think about that and what you want, what's the purpose of your video, and what is the message you're trying to convey. Okay, that would be huge. Locations on your site of your video is also important. I put videos on just about every page. I don't necessarily have a video page. I guess you could. I have videos throughout my program or throughout my website because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to convey as a part of the message videos. Think about anytime you shoot a video, what's the reasons for it? Why are you shooting that video? Don't just shoot it just to have fun, unless you're shooting a to have fun video. But if you're shooting it for business purpose, make sure that you understand what that purpose is. Don't read a script if you're being shot, but have an idea about what you're going to talk about and have a conversation with your tribe. Because that's what you're trying to do, is you're just trying to talk to your people. And of course, YouTube.com is a great place to keep your videos and this type of thing. You need to be careful because anything that you put out there, the default is public. So anything that you put out there on YouTube then is going to be available for the general public. You can put something that's private. You can also put something that is unlisted. Those are things that you need to check and change while you're there. But YouTube's a great reservoir, if you will, for your videos. Pictures, yes, keep pictures all over your website. Think about the cost. Think about the pictures that you take. Those belong to you, although the images of the people may not. So, for instance, if you take a picture of a celebrity, does not necessarily mean just because you took the picture that you can throw the picture out everywhere. You might put it out there, but you could also get sued for using his image to promote your product. So, for instance, if I took a picture of, well, Robert Redford, for instance, a famous actor, and I put a picture of Robert Redford on my website and use that picture in a way that would suggest that Robert Redford is endorsing me without his consent, I would probably get sued for that. Even though I took the picture, it's his likeness. And you can't just use people's likeness to enter your website. So you need to think about that. Obviously, there's always costs associated with pictures. When you take your pictures, your headshots, the headshots need to be professionally done. You can get a professional photographer to take your pictures, your headshots. Makes a huge difference between getting somebody to snap them there at the house. Again, it kind of depends on where you are from a financial standpoint. A headshot that is average is better than no headshot. A headshot that is professionally done and very well done and shot and organized is better than one that's shot just average. Another thing that you need to think about from a picture standpoint is you can buy pictures. I know people are talking about you can get pictures off the internet everywhere. That's right. Most of them are copyrighted in some shape, form, or fashion. And if you take pictures off the internet and you use them in a business setting, only if you're just using them for your own use, it's not a big deal. But if you use them in a business setting, a lot of those will copyright. They have lots of rules surrounding them, and you're probably going to get busted at some point. So any picture you take off the internet, you need to make sure where it came from, that you have permission to use it in your intended use. Some of them, will allow you to use it for 10 times, some 1,000 times, some have 2,000 uses. I mean, there's a variety of things you can use it for stuff that's non-commercial purposes. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. Now, once you buy pictures, pictures can be, again, you're buying it for a particular use for a particular period of time, and they're great uses of buying professionally pictures done. They're not terribly expensive, but what this does is this keeps you from the copyright scenario. It keeps you way from the copyright scenario, so that you're much less likely to get hit with a copyright suit. Because trust me, as an entrepreneur, you do not want to get hit with a copyright suit. Because even if you're innocent, and ultimately you get proved innocent, you spend a lot of money, you've also probably have a lot of bad press that you need to go through. So you can buy buy pictures off the internet, I would suggest that you do that. Keep those documents that say that you bought that that picture. Use them within the scenario. Yeah, the same thing with music. You can't just record ZZ Top and stick it on your website. You will get sued. So the music that you use, if you use music, be very careful and make sure that you bought music and you have rights to that music. Licensing is a big thing. You don't want people stealing from you. You don't want to steal from them. All right, so here's some of the tools I use. I use Sound Recorder. It's on every PC. You can use this to record the sound of your voice. With a headset, it works pretty well. Get in a quiet room. You can do a lot of recording just using your Sound Recorder. Paint is on every PC. You can use that. And I use it quite a bit to create JPEGs and to copy stuff and manipulate things. PowerPoint. I do a lot of work with PowerPoint. This program that I'm using right now was created with PowerPoint. So you can use that. That's a part of the MS Office scenario, which also comes with Word and Excel, the two tools that I use quite a bit. PayPal. PayPal is a great way to allow people to buy things from your website. It seems to be pretty secure. It's very easy. It is a very, very inexpensive way, or at least as good a way to accept credit cards on your website right now. So I use PayPal quite a bit. Basically what happens is I have some buy now and subscribe buttons. You can go to the PayPal website at paypal.com. Go to the PayPal website, talk about create buttons in their search window. Put in create buttons, and it will walk you through a scenario where you can create a buy now and a subscribe button for any cost that you want. You associate that with your PayPal account, then you can move that money from your PayPal account to your actual checking account. It does take, from the time you move money to your PayPal, from your PayPal account to your bank account, typically it's going to take 3 to 4 business days. So you need to kind of plan on that, but it's a wonderful, wonderful way to get credit cards, get your website to collect credit cards right now. It's very, very flexible, very, very easy. Now, the subscribe buttons is a little bit different. Buy now says, here's this widget that I sell for $500. Buy it now. They buy it now. They put in a credit card. $500 gets transferred to credit card to your account. Life's good. All right, a subscribe button allows you to do a couple of things. It allows you to break that payment up. So, for instance, you say, here's that $500 thing. If you want to break that payment up over 3 payments, I'm going to charge you an extra 20% in order to do that. So instead of $500, it's now $600. But what you'll do is you'll make 3 payments of $200, and you'll build a subscribe button, and again, this is very easily done in on PayPal. We'll help you do this. And it'll produce all the HTML code for you, and you just cut and paste that onto your website. But what that will do is you take that, you're saying, okay, you've got $500, I'm going to charge you 20%, that's an extra $100. It's now $600, I'm going to allow you to pay that over 3 times, so at $200 a month payments, you pay for it now. $200 now, $200 in 30 days, $200 in 60 days. And PayPal will collect that money for you. You have to do nothing else at that point. It's very cool. Very cool. I use it quite a bit. Now, you can also use the subscribe button for a group. For instance, let's say what you have is you have a group and you're charging them $20 a month to be part of your group. You set them up as a subscribe that never goes away. So every month you hit their credit card for $20. You don't have to do anything. PayPal does it all for you. That's pretty cool. So what that means is you sell that group costing $20 a month one time, and it goes and it hits that. Now what happens? How do you stop it? Now you create another button, an unsubscribe button is what it amounts to. Okay, so you can actually do that. So PayPal is an incredibly useful tool. All right, here's some of the websites, these guys. Uh, www.dreams, Time.com. This is a site to go and find pictures that you can buy for a lot of different uses. This is a neat way, if you need some pictures, to get out of the scenario of where I'm concerned about what the copyright is on the pictures. They oftentimes will have free pictures. They'll have some pictures that you have to buy. Prices are typically pretty inexpensive to buy pictures, and like I say, they do have some free images as well. So that's dreamstime.com. Once you buy that picture, you typically are going to have unlimited uses for them for a maximum number of uses, like 5,000 times or something of that nature. So Dreamtime, great little site. GoToMeeting.com. GoToMeeting.com is a way to create meetings online where you can share each other's screen. You know who's actually logged in. It's got a bigger brother called GoToWebinar.com. GoToMeeting is limited to 25 participants. 26, the presenter, and 25 participants. If you want more than 25 participants, you need to go to GoToWebinar.com. Exactly the same scenario produced by exactly the same people. It just allows you a more functionality. It's got more little tools and things of this nature. It also allows for more people. GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar.com, wonderful products. TimeTrade.com, this is a great tool. What TimeTrade allows me to do is it allows me to make appointments easily. Let's think about this. Let's say that I need to make an appointment with Mary. So I send Mary an email. Mary, I met you the other day at a meeting. I would love to actually spend some time with you. Can I find out more about you and your company? I'd love to buy you coffee. How does next Tuesday sound? So Mary sends an email back, and she says, Mike, I'd love to get together with you too. Enjoyed meeting you. I cannot do it on Tuesday. How about Wednesday morning? Well, you're busy Wednesday morning, so you have to shoot her an email back. It says, Mary, great, I'd love to see you. I can't talk to you on Wednesday morning. How about Friday afternoon? And then you send an email back, Mike, I can't talk to you Friday afternoon. I'm going to be out of town. It's like we're in the next week. Oh, let's get together on Monday. And this can go on for days. Right? This can go on for days. Instead, I've got a better solution. Send her a link. Mary, I'd love to meet you. I met you last week at a meeting. I'd love to talk with you. Let me buy you some coffee. How about we meet at the Starbucks at wherever? Here is a link to my calendar. Find time that works with you and for me, and schedule yourself. Now, when she goes to that link that you just gave her, what TimeTrade will do is it will show her your free times that you have set up. She will then go and schedule herself and meet you at the appropriate Starbucks at the appropriate time. One email. It's a wonderful tool. It's not a free tool. It costs you like $50 a year. Great, $50. Spend that money. That's a wonderful tool. Freeconference.com is exactly that. It's free conferences, free conference calling. Now, there's no video associated with this, and there's no using free conference. You can use, screenshots. There's a cost for that, but it's a wonderful, wonderful free tool to use for conferencing, so audio only. Now, there's places for audio only, and there's places for use GoToMeeting. So the one that you need to determine is, do you want people to have to sit at their computer to attend the meeting, or can they attend the meeting from their cell phones? So more and more people are wanting to attend the meeting from their cell phones. Free conference is a great free way of doing that. I'm sure there's some restrictions on how many people can get on there, but it's like 100, something of that nature. It's a great tool to use for free conferencing. Everybody dials into a particular number, and they have a password number that they dial into, and then they're all on that one conference call. Neat tool. iPage.com. I use iPage, where that's where I go to buy and build my my websites. iPage.com. It's a neat little tool. They have this thing called Weebly Drag and Drop Builder. I'm sure that other folks, GoDaddy and other places, also have places where they can build their websites. I have used Weebly here with iPage quite a bit, and it works out very well. It's not the end all, but it allows you to build a web page, a good web page, up and cranking pretty quick. I use Constant Contact to run newsletters and create opt-ins and things of this nature. Now, here's the thing about your newsletter. You do not want to just send a newsletter out of all the contacts in your particular personal email program. So if you're using Outlook or you're using Yahoo or you're using Gmail or whatever, you don't want to just do a send all to everybody, because now what's happening is you're marketing to them, and you may run out of spamming laws. Spamming laws say a variety of things. You can't just send unsolicited group bulk emails to anybody, and they must have a way for them to opt out. Okay, Constant Contact takes care of that for you and allows people to opt in, to build your list, and to opt out, which takes care of the spamming laws. So Constant Contact is a kind of a neat scenario that you can use, any program that you can use to create newsletters. I have used it. There is a couple of programs out there called Infusionsoft and Autopilot. Both of those are email marketing tools, automatic email marketing tools. They're incredibly powerful, do incredibly wonderful things. They're not cheap. They're both of them are, you know, I don't know, several hundred dollars a month, but they're wonderful. So if you once you get to the point of where you need that type of email marketing, these are two programs that are great. Now, Autopilot also has a little brother called SendPepper. SendPepper, for quite a bit less money per month, will allow you to do a lot of the things for auto responder communications. Again, allow you to build some type of a automatic email marketing tool. So why would you need marketing communication, specifically a email marketing tool? Well, think about you're currently doing some type of marketing communications right now. Even if it's just sending out an email occasionally, you're doing that. So once you have an event, you're sending out maybe a lot of emails. You may be sending them through Constant Contact. You may be sending them just through your Outlook file or your Gmail account or whatever. That can create problems with spamming laws. But if you're doing that manually, you may be doing a poor job of it, or you may be inconsistent, or you may not be doing it at all. All of those scenarios are bad scenarios. If you use an autoresponder, it will bring consistency to your program, and you know that the emails are going to go out at a particular time for particular situations. So, for instance, if I'm holding a webinar, I'm holding a webinar next week, everybody that has signed up for that webinar, I'm going to send them an email 7 days prior to the event saying something like, hey, I'm excited about you coming to the webinar. I'm looking forward to seeing you there on the webinar next week. I will send them another email the day before saying, hey, you know, the webinar is tomorrow. I just wanted to remind you that our webinar is tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to working with you. And then send an email an hour before the actual webinar. Geez, our webinar is coming up in an hour. I really appreciate you joining on to us. Here's how you get on the webinar, yada, yada, yada. So what it does is it reminds people that you're having that event. And oftentimes they really greatly appreciate the reminder simply because they don't have to go through and sort through all their email in order to find your dial-in information for that webinar. So an autoresponder will allow you to do that. If you try to do that manually, unless you're very, very good at time management, you're going to forget. You're not going to produce that at the same time. You're not going to produce it the day before or an hour before. You're not going to produce it 7 days before. It's going to slip through the cracks. So an autoresponder is awesome for people that are doing any type of marketing through an email type scenario. So use that. Again, that is that's SendPepper and Infusion and Autopilot. All right, with the web page, like I said, I use iPage with the Weebly drag and drop builder. Is it limited? Yes, it's limited. I'll tell you that right now. Some people will say, you know, you can't use that. You need to spend thousands of dollars to have a web page built. Well, you could. I did that, and it did not work out well for me. So what I ended up doing is I ended up building my own website that has worked out much, much better. Is it limited? Yes, it's limited. Is it adequate? For me right now, yes, it's adequate. Will it work forever? Probably not. Okay. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's good for right now. And then what's going to happen is in a year, 2 years, something of this nature, I may decide to get a little fancier website. And if so, then I can go and I can get somebody to design that website for me. So it is limited. It is adequate. It probably is not a forever solution. It is a pretty good right now solution. On that website, you may decide to put banners. People may ask you for banners from time to time. You can create a lot of things with PowerPoint easily. You move pictures in, you modify, you add words and graphics together. You put those into PowerPoint and manipulate them with PowerPoint, particularly if you're using PowerPoint in a lot of the presentations or things of this nature. Once you get really good at PowerPoint, then what you can do is you cut that over to Paint and use Paint to then convert that and save that into a JPEG. And with the JPEG, then it can go pretty much anywhere. And then that's how I create my banners, actually. So that's it for the website, to kind of give you some ideas about how and why you should build a website. Our next video that we're going to be talking about is how to grow your reach, and that will be coming up right behind me here. So I appreciate y'all joining us today. This is Mike O'Neill, Money Coach. Talk to you soon.